I looked at Adam. He's the first father in the Bible, and I thought, well, that'd be a good guy to talk about. And you know, we need good examples today as fathers. Did you realize that? We need someone to set the example. You see, God had a plan. He had a purpose when he gave us fathers and mothers to teach and bring up our children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I got to looking, and you know what happened in Adam's family? Cain killed Abel. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't want that going on in our family. So I moved on to Noah, and I thought, well, Noah's a good guy. You know, he built an ark, and his family and all got on board, and the various animals and all of this. And yeah, Noah's a good guy. But he got back on dry land, and God gave him the sign of the rainbow in the sky, you know, after the storm. I said, man, that's good. And then he had a little time of worship, you know, as he thanked God for all that he'd done. And then he went out and pitched a big drunk. And I said, whoa, we better back off of Noah, I guess. That's not a good father. Well, what about Abraham? Let's move to Abraham. He's the father of Israel, and, you know, he'd be an ideal father, you'd think. But then I got to thinking, I used to serve on board with DSS up there for about 19 years, and I think when Abraham tied up Isaac and put him on that altar and started to offer him up for an altar, DSS would have frowned on it. I said, this ain't good. You know why all of these guys had problems? Because they're just like me and you. They're human beings. And Paul tells us over in Romans 3 that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So we stand in need of help this morning, don't we? But I found one. Over in Luke chapter number 15, we want to look at that passage of Scripture. If you would this morning, in honor and reverence of the reading of God's Word, would you stand with me, please? Remain standing through prayer. In Luke chapter 15, beginning reading in verse number 11, and he said, this is referring to Jesus who is talking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son, gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let us pray. Our Father, today we come with thanksgiving and praise as we come into your presence, humbly bowing before you and asking your forgiveness for every sin in word or deed or thought. Lord, again, as we gather here to worship, we need help, that we might truly worship in spirit and in truth. We need help, Lord, that we may hear your voice. Lord, that we may hear your word. Our hearts, our minds, our understanding need to be open, receptive, responsive to you, Lord, and all that you do here today. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we humbly pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. This morning I'd like to share with you concerning the love of the Father. The love of the Father. As we think about fatherhood, there are those of you that are natural or biological fathers. There are those of you that may be adoptive fathers. Maybe you adopted a child. There are those of you that may be foster parents or foster father. And then there are those of you, maybe you don't have a son or a daughter or a child, but you've been a father figure as you came through life. All of these have to do with fatherhood. Fatherhood is more about more than just getting a child into this world, but there is a responsibility. When that child is born, that is the beginning point. That's not the ending point, that's the beginning point. Because then you have the responsibility of bringing that child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, you play an important role in that child's life. Do you realize that most children growing up, whatever type of relationship that they had with an earthly father is going to be very parallel to the relationship they have with a heavenly father? If they have a bad relationship with the earthly father, they may never come to have a relationship with a heavenly father. Fathers, you're that important in the position that God has placed you in and what he has called upon you to do as a father. I want to move on to this word love. We talked about the love of the Father. In the Greek language in which the New Testament is written, there are a number of different words that are translated. When they come into the English language, they're all translated love. But yet there are differences in them. There is that physical, sensual love that comes from the Greek word eros. There is that brotherly love that comes from the Greek word phileo, from which we get Philadelphia, brotherly love. But then there is that agape love. This is the love that God has for you. This is the love that he calls upon us to have for our wives, for our children, for our neighbors, for our friends. And he went on to say to love your enemies with that same kind of love. This is a love that benefits the one that is being loved. You see, so many times we use the word love in our society, in our world today, and until you meet Jesus Christ and make him Savior and Lord in your life, you have never experienced love. You don't know what love is, and you can't give it away because you don't have it. Love. The love of the Father. I believe this morning that we see this love. There's some things about that you need to understand about love. As you experience love, there are three particular things that come to mind that's going to be a part of your experience. Number one is pain. You didn't like that one, did you? None of us like pain. But that is a part of love because you see, everything doesn't always work out the way that you want it to. Everything don't always go your way. The one that you love don't always return that love. Sometimes there's rejection. Sometimes there are things that happen in love that is very painful. Goodbyes are painful. And Steve came to me and told me that he was moving to the big city of Florence, South Carolina, a number of years ago. It was kind of upsetting. He had been about an hour away from where I lived, and now he was moving more like 3 hours, which coming down yesterday, it turned into about 4 or 5 hours because of road work. Oh, Daddy, I'll see you about once a month. I guess that was the joke he told. Usually we get to see each other about Christmas. We get to spend some time together with Steve and Lori. You see, we've got three kids, and they went out and brought three more kids in. So I guess we got six now. Nine grandkids, two great grandkids, and I don't even know how many foster kids we've got. I lost count of that. You see, Judy used to babysit back before. She started babysitting before Steve was born. I remember the first one was Debbie, and this was her cousin's little girl, and Debbie would come and stay with us for weeks and months at a time sometimes. And Judy took care of her. But there were a lot of others that followed. And then for about 20 years, we took in foster kids. When you have kids, there's some pain involved because things don't always turn out. You see, when Steve and Lori and the kids begin to leave, it's been a happy time. It's a joyous time when they come and you get to see them and you get to spend time with them. And I don't mind just, they don't have to say anything to me. I mean, you know, I can sit off at the side and just listen to all of them talk and watch the little ones run around playing and all, and it's a thrill. But then they decide they want to go home. That's where the pain begins. It's hard sometimes to say goodbyes. I remember two little foster kids we had back in, I guess, the middle 80s or early 80s. These two little kids had really had a tough life. They wasn't with us long. I told Judy, when they told us what had gone on with these kids, I said, they won't have anything to do with me because Dad seemed to be the one that had been harming them. They came on Wednesday night, and I was up preaching, and Judy went out to the house and carried their little suitcases out there and came back in, and when I finished, I went to the back door as I normally did, and while somebody was praying, my head was bowed, and I felt somebody beside me. And the oldest little girl had walked up, and she slid her arm around my waist and said, Daddy, I moved in. A few weeks later, came time for them to move on to the place that was being prepared for them and fixed. Summertime. Windows in the car was down. And I can still hear those little girls as the car went over the hill and out of sight. Daddy, I don't want to go. Daddy, I don't want to go. It's pain, folks. There's pain. There's pain and love, but there's also patience because things have a way of working out, don't they? They have a way of working out, and it takes patience. But the third thing in this thing, how am I going to get through the pain and the patience? I get through it by prayer. Prayer. First thing that I do every morning, I pray for my family. It starts off with the kids. Then the grandkids, and the great-grandkids, and the foster kids. You see, I'm still praying for Zoe and Mo. They've already moved on. They're still in my prayers. First thing I do in the morning, and the last thing that I do at night. You've seen the caterpillar. And you know it gets inside that cocoon. It's wrapped up in that cocoon. You know what happens in the spring? It chews its way out, and it's a beautiful butterfly, right? Wrap your kids up in prayer that way. Put them in a cocoon of prayer. Because you love them. You love them. In the passage of Scripture that we read, and of course it concerns this father, as you begin to look, said a certain man. This was the father. Five different things that I find in this passage of Scripture that are signs of his love. The love that he had for his sons. In verse number 12, you find that the son came to him, the younger son, and he wanted a portion of goods that falleth to him. That used to kind of bother me a little bit. What if my kids came to me and wanted a portion of goods that fell to them? What about while I'm in retirement years? What if I have medical problems? What if I need all of this? This son's not thinking about any of that. And then it hit me one day. I said, you know, that's a good idea. I wish my kids would come to me today and say, Dad, we want what's coming to us. I'd be debt-free tomorrow. Give them all my bills. But you see, this father had grace. Grace was a sign of his love for his son. That grace was generous, and he gave to his son that was coming to him. Not because the son deserved it, not because he had earned it. Dad had put in the long hours. Dad had earned all of this, but he gave it to his son because of the grace that was in his heart. His son wanted it, and he said, I want to make my son happy. And because of grace. Grace was a sign of his love. We find that the son didn't really appreciate it and use it wisely or anything like that. But there's another sign that the father loved his son, and that's the focus. The focus that he had. This dad wasn't focused on his career. He wasn't focused on his retirement. He wasn't focused on the farm and the sheep and the goats and the cattle and all of that. He was focused on his son. That's where our focus has got to be, dads. It's got to be on the children. We got to focus on them. The story is told of this farmer. And he had a lot of land out there and he planted corn. Another farmer was passing by and he noticed that every week when he passed by, the farmer had his sons out there plowing the corn. And he finally went to the farmer and he says, you know, says a said, to raise good corn, you don't have to plow it every week. The farmer says, you don't understand. I ain't raising corn, I'm raising men. Woo! How about it? The focus has got to be on the kids. We've got to focus on them because they need it. They've got to learn. They've got to be taught. They not only learn through what we say, but they learn by the example that we set. The focus. This father was so focused on that son. I can imagine that every night he wondered, I wonder if my boy's got a place to sleep. I wonder where he's at tonight. I wonder what's going on. I wonder if he's still got something to eat. And every day when he went out toward the field, he probably looked on the horizon. I just wonder if he's coming home today. I wonder when he's coming back. I just hope he's all right. That's where the focus was at. But I want to call your attention on down here. Look at verse number 20. It said, he arose and came to his father. That was the boy. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Why did he see him? Because he was looking for him. That's where his focus had been. He was looking for him to come back. And that focus led to excitement. Another sign of his love is excitement. He was excited. What did it say happened? He saw him, first of all. And then the Bible said that he had compassion and he ran. Well, I guess I was right. The old boy's coming home now. I tried to tell him, but he wouldn't listen. That wasn't it, was it? That's not what the book said. Book said he ran. He ran. He was in a hurry. I don't know how far the boy was away when he saw him, but he ran to meet him. He was excited because he's coming back. That excitement led into another sign, and that sign is forgiveness. Forgiveness. You remember what happened to the boy? He went off. Oh, he partied. He just wanted to have fun. He wasted all his dad's money that he had. He ran out of money. When he ran out of money, he ran out of friends. When he ran out of money and friends, he ran out of food to eat and a place to stay. And he winds up in an abomination. Remember that a pig is an abomination to the Jew. And he winds up out there trying to pick something out of the slop. Now, folks, I can remember when around the schools and all, what the kids didn't eat, they put it in a bucket and it was carried off to feed the pigs. And there was some good food went into those buckets. But that don't mean I want to go eat out of it. But that's what the boy was doing. The Bible said he came to himself. You know, when I was growing up, I remember back as a teenager, and I heard people talking about, so, oh, I'm going off, I'm going to find myself. I think I found myself. I'm right here in this body, have been all my life. I didn't have to go off somewhere else to find out who I was, did I? I don't know where we come up with some of these ideas we come up with. But this old boy has come to the point. He says, you know, sir, I done wrong. You know, that's where life turns around. When we recognize we've got a problem, and when we confess that we've got that problem, then we can start getting something done about that problem, can't we? He says, I'm hungry. I'm tired. I've got the hired servants over there at Dad's. They got food to eat. They got a warm bed to sleep in. They've got clothes to wear. They've got all of this stuff going on, and here I sit in a hog pen. Where are you at this morning? He has all of this speech prepared. He's going to tell his daddy, and he starts telling his daddy. But daddy's not listening. It wasn't important. What was important was that he was home. That was important. The boy was important. Forgiveness had already taken place. The fifth thing, it's a sign of the Father's love, was celebration. Celebration. Going to be a party. The boy came home. What did the dad say? Notice what the boy is telling him. Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned in your sight. I'm not worthy to be your son. And in the meantime, dad is giving commands. He's telling this servant, go get the best robe in the house. Go get a ring and put on his hand. Go get some shoes and put on his feet. Go out and kill the fatted calf. We're going to party tonight. We're celebrating. My son was dead and now he's alive. My son was lost, but now he's found. We're celebrating. Five signs of the Father's love. Grace. Focus, excitement, forgiveness, and celebration. In this story, most of the time you've probably heard about the Son. This morning I wanted you to hear about the Father and the love that He had, the example that He set. Why could He do that? Because Scripture says we're created in His likeness and after His own image. Did you see a picture of God, our Heavenly Father, in this morning? He's full of grace. Grace that you and I can never get our minds wrapped around is so great and so generous. His focus is on you, His child. He's excited when you come to Him Even as a believer this morning, when you take time out of your busy schedule and you say, I'm going to spend time with the Father, and maybe you get on your knees or maybe you can't, maybe driving down the road. Folks, if you're driving down the road, please don't close your eyes. You don't have to close your eyes to talk to the Father. You don't have to close your eyes. There was an automobile passed me yesterday on the road, and I said, thank you, Jesus. And Judy said, what in the world's wrong? I said, that little girl finally got off of my bumper. We're running 70 and 75 miles an hour, and she's on my bumper, and she's not looking at where she's going. I guess she's looking at the cell phone or something. I don't know. Need to keep our eyes on the road, don't we? Or you'll wind up where you don't want to be, okay? Excitement. He gets excited every time that you come to spend time with him. There's a celebration going on. He's full of forgiveness. What's your relationship with the Father this morning? Some of us have to work on earthly father relationships, don't we? But the number one is our Heavenly Father. What kind of relationship do you have with him? You see, he's always watching, and he's always waiting for your return and your visit with him. Fathers, could I have you stand?